Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, "Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. And if I learn anything, I will tell you." And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have brought good to you. For he took his life in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine, and the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?" And Saul listened to the voice of David, to the voice of Jonathan. And Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan reported to him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a great blow, so that they fled before him. And then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in the house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing the lyre. And Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear. But he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, that he might kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, told him, "If you do not escape with your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." And so Michal let David down through the window, and he fled away and escaped. Michal took an image and laid it on the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair at its head and covered it with the clothes. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And then Saul sent the messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may kill him." And when the messengers came in, behold, the image was in the bed, with the pillow of goat's hair at his head. Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me thus, and let my enemy go, so that he has escaped?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go, why should I kill you?'" Now David fled and escaped, and he came to Samuel at Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he had Samuel went and lived in Naoth. And it was told Saul, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as head over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. Then he himself went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Shechem. And he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they are at Naoth in Ramah." And he went there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. And as he went, he prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he too stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel, and lay naked all that day and all that night. Thus it is said, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Thanks, God. Thanks to God for his word. Let's be seated.
Word, and thank you, Joshua and praise team, for leading us in singing this morning. Good morning to you all. Glad to see you all. Glad to have you here. I want to say thank you also to Corey, who preached in my absence last week. Thank you so much, brother, for serving our church. I'm excited to listen to it online. By the way, if you ever miss a sermon and want to stay current on what's going on our website, gracewakeforest.com, you can find the sermon audio. And so that's a good way to stay current with what's going on. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, Corey. Well, I want to say it's good to be back with you all. The mission team arrived back last night safely from a trip to Waterbury, Vermont, which was both successful and exhausting. As the bleary-eyed team members among us today know, we conducted a five-day outdoor VBS, and apparently we brought the southern heat with us when we went up there. It included a 92-degree day, which is quite hot for Vermont. I thought we were going to escape and be in the 60s and 70s. Apparently, the hot weather followed us. But it was also the best attended VBS that anybody in Waterbury can remember. And the team was able to share the gospel consistently with 19 to 24 kids, which to you might not sound like a great number. In Waterbury, Vermont, it is actually the mark of a very successful VBS. We also saw their parents on the last day. Their parents heard a gospel presentation, and that is certainly successful. Also, in what's becoming an annual tradition, we had to get two new van tires while we were up there in Vermont. But you'll be relieved to know the situation was not nearly as dangerous as it was a year ago. No exposed threads on the tires this time. The six of us from GBC were also joined by some former GBC members, Daniel and Nicole Tomlin, who we have the privilege of having with us here today, Whitney Kiker, and Gary and Debbie Sugart, who brought with them three other members from Gary's current church, Redbud Baptist in Castalia, North Carolina. And the camaraderie with old friends was absolutely one of the highlights of the trip. Another one was the Maple Creamies. If you've not been to Vermont, that is soft serve ice cream with maple syrup mixed in. And it is excellent. It's just as good as it sounds, maybe even better. If you're thinking that sounds pretty good to you, then I'll see you in the next Vermont Trip informational meeting as we plan the 2014 trip. That meeting will be coming up sometime in the fall. Maybe on a more serious note, to give you an update on ways you have prayed and can keep praying, it occurs to me that a trip like this one requires both us as a mission team and even us as a church to take the long view in terms of God's work in Vermont. Here's what I mean by that. Vermont is an incredibly irreligious and unchurched state, and especially if you've spent all of